This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, cover crops are gaining popularity across the state, and one agronomist says it's important to keep your goals in mind when trying them on your farm. Stephanie Porter with Burris recently spoke at the Montgomery County Soil and Water Meeting and said weed control and pest suppression can be two of the main benefits of cover crops.
Well, first of all, I don't claim to be an expert, but I think that, you know, as they become increasingly more popular, they're definitely going to be incorporated in a lot of different farm management systems. And so as I traveled across the state, oftentimes the agronomist gets called when something goes wrong. So what I tried to do was share a little bit of my experience in with cover crops in regards to pests. And also, but, you know, the main takeaway was that a lot of times farmers are ready to give up, especially when we've had some of these pest disasters as of, you know, last year when I kind of stumbled upon some armyworms, slugs, those different things. But I also tried to highlight a lot of the positives that can come from ecosystems whenever you have cover crops. So a lot of times you get a lot of beneficial insects as well, and not just the bad ones.
And a main point that you mentioned to the farmers that you were speaking to at the meeting was to keep your goals in mind. And as you said, there can be a lot of good things that come from them, but that's kind of up to the farmer to decide what they're wanting to receive from cover crops.
Yeah. So I think it's become difficult because Southern Illinois goals may be different than Northern Illinois goals, and it also depends a lot on the species that you're growing, what your goals are. And sometimes people think that they're going to get all these benefits and it's going to happen really quickly. And with cover crops, there's a lot of long-term goals, you know, to improve the soil, to hold nutrients, improve tilth, get rid of compaction. A lot of those things, it takes a while, and sometimes you don't see an economic benefit. One of the things, though, a lot of times, especially with some of the rise, as we go in with both corn and soybeans, especially soybeans, we're seeing a huge benefit with getting rid of weeds. And so that's one thing, you know, we talked about that people are actually seeing an economic benefit from. Of course, that's not the only thing, but pest-wise, you can really see a benefit, especially with water hemp, which we're really struggling with in soybeans. And so that's just another, you know, benefit of cover crops.
One other thing that was discussed was with managing cover crops and when it comes time to be planting your regular crop for the year. You had advice for farmers on that and things to do and things not to do. So I'll let you talk about that next.
So just a couple of things that I stumbled upon this year. One was armyworm. And almost in every instance, those growers that had cover crops had planted green. So what that means is that they did not terminate the cover crop and wait, you know, around 10 to 14 days before they planted their corn. And so that is just kind of increasing your risk. I'm not going to say you 100% are going to have a pest problem. You're just increasing your risk, and sometimes it fails. And those pests like to fly to places where they can lay their eggs, and that's one of the perfect spots is with cover crops. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, we talked about soybeans and slugs. So, of course, environment's going to be a number one. They like wet, right? Cool, wet. But the other thing is we had a lot of late planted fields this year. So that is another factor of why people possibly could have had more slugs within their cover crop, soybean environment. But what Penn State's actually come out with lately, new research, is saying to plant green. So actually plant your soybeans into your green cover crops when it comes to soybeans, especially when you're trying to get rid of slugs.
Okay, well, lots of things to keep in mind, and obviously that's going to differ for every farmer and their situation. So when you make your farm visits and you're talking to farmers all over the state of Illinois, Do you have a percentage of those that do use cover crops? Is it a large amount, small amount, or you know, where are we throughout the state?
I would say it's definitely increasing. I definitely noticed last year, I almost want to say 25%. I think that's a little high, 20 to 25%, I would guess. But I still have a lot of people asking about them. You know, they may not have, they're definitely thinking about it, but they may not have actually, you know, actually pulled the trigger, or they may be experimenting with one or two fields right now. But there's definitely a much higher percentage of people using cover crops in the last year or so.
And I guess you would advise to start small, you know, don't do all your acres, or maybe not even an entire field, but do a smaller amount of acres just to see how it works.
Well, I would say, I think a lot of them are doing their homework. A lot of them are talking to their neighbors that have done it. And I just find that a lot of farmers are sharing their experiences, you know, what went wrong. And a lot of it has to do with environment, too. Every year is going to be different. I think the biggest struggle a lot of times is getting a stand, especially as you move north, depending on the species and that type of thing. The other thing is residue management and getting a stand of your crop as well. But I saw a lot of benefits last year when it turned off dry, especially with beans, where they were struggling to come up. Those that had cover crops, it had actually conserved moisture, and they were getting, you know, better stands where some areas of the state actually were struggling because it was so dry.
Well, as I've said throughout this interview, lots of things to keep in mind as you experiment with cover crops, and you've said the same thing. Stephanie, any other points that you'd like to make or things you'd like to share about cover crops that we haven't covered yet?
I guess I would need to do my duty and express, you know, integrated pest management. I think that a lot of people are going to need to do some scouting, maybe a little bit higher management when it comes to cover crops. You know, make sure you know what's going on out there. Don't be too quick to just automatically put an insecticide on, because that could, you know, make things worse. Don't use the insecticide unless you have to. And I'm really, you know, an advocate of a full seed treatment. And we talked about other things that can go wrong, like diseases. There's a lot of research going on in that respect. And so we have to think about root rots as well. Sometimes those can come in on some cover crops. And so definitely be using a full seed treatment with a lot of different fungicide components and a full insecticide component.
If you have questions or would like more information, you can follow Stephanie on Twitter at SK Porter or find her contact info on BurrisSeed.com. And we'll have more ag news in just a moment. Farm Futures Magazine recently released its survey of 2018 planting intentions, which shows that farmers aren't quite ready to make major changes to their crop rotations. However, they are going to plant more of what paid best in 2017. For the first time since 1983, farmers want to plant more soybeans than corn. Back then, the government's PIC program idled millions of corn acres, but even then, the difference was just 35,000 acres. Growers are planning to put in 90.1 million acres of crops this year, not much different than 2017. Farm Futures is projecting more wheat planting this year, saying farmers are ready to put in 11.8 million acres of spring wheat, and that's up 6.7% from last year. The first Farm Futures survey of 2018 planting intentions showed farmers wanting to boost corn acres and cut back on soybeans, but price relationships have changed quite a bit in the last 4 months. Cotton farmers also intend to raise the amount of planted acres to 13.2 million, a 5% increase. Cotton was one of the few bright spots in the crop community in 2017. Farm Futures did say that all this information could be subject to change based on changing prices and the weather. Well, looking at ag-related community events, Farm Credit Illinois is hosting a crop insurance meeting this Thursday at Lincoln Land Community College in Litchfield. Breakfast will be served at 7:30 a.m., and the meeting will follow until 10 a.m., and you can register online at farmcreditil.com. The Central Illinois Livestock Association is hosting a meeting this Thursday also. That's taking place at the Moonlight Y in Hillsboro. The meeting starts at 6:30 p.m., and they ask that you RSVP to Larry Miller at 217-532-2585 by January 24th. The First National Bank of Litchfield is hosting a free informational breakfast meeting on February 1st at Maverick Steak and Spirits in Litchfield. Crop insurance, replant options, margin protection insurance, and a market outlook will be discussed. And you can RSVP by calling the bank at 217-324-2105. And last but not least, the 2018 Illinois Pork Expo will be held February 6th and 7th at the Bank of Springfield Center, formerly known as the Prairie Capital Convention Center. And you can register online for the expo at ilpork.com. And that does it for today's WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.